Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We'll be joined by our friend Ben Arthur from the Tennessean coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they look ahead to their matchup with the Miami Dolphins coming up on Sunday. Charles Robinson coming up at 9 o'clock and Chris Mason at 9:30 as well. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about expectations for this Titans team and the hand that they've been dealt so far this year with injury. That's not something I don't think anybody could have foreseen this year in terms of the amount of injuries they've had to deal with. Now, the COVID list acting up as well this week as they head down the stretch of the regular season. And yet, through it all, they're 10-5. They're in first place in the AFC South. Right now, they're the number two seed in the AFC as well, with still a legitimate shot to end up as the number one seed in Kansas City. Look, there's been losses to the Texans. There have been losses to an awful Pittsburgh Steelers team, the Jets team that had no business beating you. Look, there's no question about it. There have been some bad moments this year for the Titans. I would think the Titans fans still, though, by and large, have to be pretty thrilled with the way the season has gone to this point, even with the injuries that have taken place. And now, hopefully, with A.J. Brown back in there, and with Derrick Henry's return potentially on the horizon, maybe you've got a chance to make some noise in the playoffs. But I don't know. The vibe I get from the Titans fan base is an interesting one right now, because I think there are a lot of people that are down on Ryan Tannehill, and that may be affecting the way they think this team can be in the playoffs and the run they think they can go on. I don't know how to really gauge what I'm kind of feeling from Titans fans right now.
Well, I think that it's the what we talk about. Are you a sunshine blower? Are you a doom and gloomer? Or are you somewhere in between? In my opinion, I think if you're a Titans fan, first of all, are you not entertained, you know, by this season? It's been incredibly unpredictable. And you look, some people never want to use excuses, and that's fine, but we're talking about 88, is that right? 88 players used, which is the most, other than, of course, in 1987, for people who remember that season, the strike and the replacement players, which, by the way, the Detroit Lions went 3-0 with their replacement players, and it was like, dude, keep these guys. Keep these guys. These guys are awesome. They're crushing the other replacement players. But other than that season, it's the most a team has ever used in NFL history. I mean, like, come on, it's incredible. And I think that and when you think about the it's not just like it's your right guard or your third linebacker. I mean, these are key guys who are getting hurt. It's been an incredible revolving door of people, which is why I on a different topic here, but I do think that Mike Vrabel still could potentially get into the coach of the year chatter, you know, if the Titans finish strong. Like if the Titans get the one seed, do you come all the way back around and people say, wow, maybe he should be the guy. But no, I think Titans fans should be happy with this. And I would guess that the pretty strong majority of the fan base would be. But we also know that performance is judged against expectations, and they were sky high going into the year.
Well, they were, and they were sky high specifically on offense. And I think if you're disappointed about anything this year, that's got to be what it is. And look, you know, you can point fingers at Todd Downing, which we have to some degree. You can point fingers at Ryan Tannehill, which we have to some degree. But I think the most disappointing part of this year is, you know, you had A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and Derrick Henry as your trio. And back when the opinion of Julio Jones was, I think, a little bit different than what it is right now with Titans fans, the expectation was not only was this team going to be a fun team to watch in terms of the way they move the ball offensively, but their offense is going to give them a chance to outgun anybody. And, you know, I just I think if that's going to happen as they move forward here, it may have to be done a different way. I think there's a lot of Titans fans that are concerned with, all right, well, let's say you get Derrick Henry back in there heading into the playoffs. You've got A.J. Brown clicking on all cylinders. I think you feel pretty good about that. The Julio Jones part of this, I think, has been the most disappointing thing because of the injuries, because when he's been on the field, he has not been all that productive to this point outside of the Seattle game and a couple of moments here and there. So if there's, I guess, something outside of purely the injuries to be disappointed about, it's that we never really got to see this offense together and thriving really at any point for any consistent amount of time this year.
Right. I think the best example of it was, yeah, that Kansas City game when good first half for Julio Jones, A.J. Brown had a big game, Derrick Henry, you know, that and the defense, I mean, everything looked great in that game. I mean, 27-3. If they could take, like, you know, 23 of those points and somehow squirrel them away and apply them to a potential playoff matchup, man, they'd feel good about things. But I agree. But I also would say, well, let's go back to the player on every team who gets the most credit and blame. I mean, I think that the quarterback play this year is certainly a source of disappointment. And I think it's fair that it would be a source of disappointment. I mean, compared to even with everything going on around, look, I think you can hear, you know, when Vrabel talks about Tannehill, Vrabel is a big fan of Tannehill. Okay. His toughness, how he plays. And Vrabel makes no, I mean, he's many times this year said, gee, you protect the guy. And it's amazing. You know, I mean, so you could say he's making excuses for him, but you know, I don't take Vrabel as like a QB excuse maker, you know? I mean, I think he believes in him and believes that there's a lot more to this than just Tannehill struggling. But still, you can't tell me when you're giving the ball to the other team in some of these games and just some of the plays he hasn't made that it's not disappointing to some extent. So, I mean, I think that would be – it would be probably those two things. It would be – if you're individuals, it would be those two individuals, Julio Jones and Ryan Tannehill.
Go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ty texting in says, overall, I'm happy with them. I feel like the offense hasn't lived up to my expectations, but the defense has exceeded my expectations. If they can somehow get it all rolling after everyone is back, they're going to be a force in the playoffs. And that is the other part of this that, you know, we talked about unexpected with this team. I've largely been blown away by the defense. I mean, I knew they'd be better this year. They've been, I think, just about as good as I could have possibly hoped for in terms of the Titans defense with not only the pass rush, but the rush defense. They've been good against the pass as well. I mean, it's just Shane Bowen and Mike Vrabel and that defensive staff, I think, deserve a lot of credit. And John Robinson as well, the players, you know, we talked about it last year. Was it coaching? Was it personnel? I think we found out last year a lot of it had to do with personnel.
No doubt. Now, I think it was coaching in terms of coaching decision from Vrabel on D coordinator versus what he did this year.
Agreed.
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, Shane Bowen, and good for Shane Bowen for not being afraid to say so, you know, because, I mean, essentially when you acknowledge it, you are saying, yeah, I wish he would have done this last year. But, hey. He's just, I mean, good for him, you know, for being honest. I mean, it probably speaks to the working relationship there, which, of course, goes back to Shane Bowen being a grad with Vrabel under Herbs at Ohio State. But obviously, given the title, he's really, I think, flourished with it. I mean, when we talk about the coordinators, I think the jury's still out on Todd Downing. Although, I mean, I think Todd Downing has answered, like, the absolute like Jason Fitz thinks he's the worst OC ever critic. I mean, it's not that bad, but he's jury's still out on him. And I think Downing and Tannehill are the two guys moving forward with like a lot, probably the most pressure on them. But Bowen, I think, has really established himself as a DC who can get it done in this league. And for all the personnel things that have not worked out in the last couple off seasons, some pretty good moves on that side of the ball. Danico Autry, that's one that, I mean, I think we liked that from the start. It's been very good. Oh, yeah. And, you know, Bud Dupree, I mean, obviously he goes on the COVID list now. So we'll see if he's available for Sunday. But I think that Bud Dupree it could be a real important player here down the stretch.
Titans fans, let's get your thought on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Are you happy with the way this Titans season has gone, with injuries, everything that's happened to this team? Are you comfortable with the spot that they're in heading into, hopefully, another playoff berth coming up very soon? We'll get to more of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex
Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Terry texting in says, I'm disappointed in the offensive line more than anything. I'm still excited for what this team can do. And I think that's a good point brought up by Terry. It's been, I think, very disappointing from the offensive line, both in terms of health and in terms of the pass blocking as well. So that's something that I don't guess we anticipated heading into this year, the drop-off in pass blocking to the degree that we've seen so far.
Yeah, that's a big mistake, actually, on my part last segment. I mean, I guess I'd probably still put that third behind Tannehill and Julio, but you could make the case that that's been I think Julio's got to be number one, because as you said, like, there was such expectation and there really wasn't an indication that he was going to fall off like this. Yes, he missed half the year, but when he played last year, he looked like Julio Jones. Yeah. He has looked like Julio Jones his entire career before this year. And last year was the first time he had any serious injury. So that's got to be number one. But, yeah, you know, then it's actually a good debate. Like, okay, so let's say on the Jared side of things, it's Tannehill clearly. And, look, I agree, Tannehill makes $29.5 million. It's a quarterback. So has the ball in his hand every play, just has much more impact on, you know, as one individual on your success. But I think you can make a strong case that the offensive line – has been the biggest factor that's hurt him, and also has been as disappointing or right up there as anything, starting with that opening game.
Well, I mean, the opening game was basically the point of that, where you look around, and you said, all right, this is a total disaster. And it's not been like that in terms of what we've seen since then. But, you know, we talked about it yesterday with Corey. I mean, we were discussing what a good job kind of this makeshift offensive line did against San Francisco. And look, they did. I think there were a lot of moments in that game where Tannehill was protected really nicely. But he still got sacked four times in the game. Like, if he got sacked in the game four times last year, we'd have been freaking out. So that just kind of goes to show what the offensive line has been like so far this year. And look, you know, at this point, you're two games left in the regular season. Taylor Lewan, when he's not been – in dealing with the knee injury coming back from, now he's got a back injury, he's on the COVID list. Like, it's just been one thing after the other with Taylor Lewan this year. Roger Saffold's been hurt basically all year long. Nate Davis hasn't quite looked like himself so far this year, although I will say Nate Davis mauled some people the other night in the running game.
Yes. No, Nate Davis, and that's the thing. I mean, there's still good players in there, and there's still, I think, a hope that you can have, you know, your best stretch with this offensive line when it matters most. But, I mean, you are running out of time here. Now you add the back for Lewan. You know Saffold's going to be banged up. Ben Jones is, I mean, I can't remember the last time Ben Jones had to like kind of go down on a knee and then come off the field and go back in. I mean, it's, you know, it seems like he's gotten a little better.
He's doing cartwheels and backflips and stuff. Yeah, I think he's fine.
That's right. That's a good point. So, I mean, like, and, you know, Questenberry is, you know, everybody gets all over Questenberry because T.J. Watt blows him up. I mean, Questenberry's been pretty good this year. You don't have to subscribe to the Pro Football Focus, like, highest-rated right tackle thing, because Pro Football Focus's grades are stupid. But I think against your standard NFL pass rusher and in the run game, Questenberry's been good. He's been a heck of a find. And certainly, I don't think it was plan A or B or probably C, but he's been fine. you have to help them against really good pass rushers. And that's the thing about the other night is it's like, okay, so you have to give a ton of help to both of these tackles. How the heck are you going to protect Tannehill? So the four sacks was actually, to me, that was a pretty good outcome. But that's also speaks to the problem here. If you can give that guy clean pockets, and now you have A.J. Brown, and then you bring back Derrick Henry, see? I mean, the Super Bowl is pretty much a lock. Yeah, that's what we've come around to here.
Get that parade going. Jacob from Murfreesboro texting in says, I'm pleased with where they are, although I'd love to see them keep Tannehill clean these last couple of games. He's getting hit way too much for them to have success in the postseason. I can't believe we're going to be in the position again to possibly need multiple offensive linemen this offseason. That's coming from Jacob in Murfreesboro. Let's just go ahead and prepare Titans fans right now for that first-round draft pick on the offensive line, because I think it's happening, my man.
Yes, but see, this is what I would say to Titans fans. And I understand, look, we all have this impulse, like, what's next? Look ahead. You know, what are we going to do? You know, that's very natural. But, like, right now, you know, your team is 10-5, has a chance to win the division for the second year in a row, which, by the way, this franchise hasn't done since it was the Oilers in 60, 61, and 62. And you have a chance to, like, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Like, you know, how many times have you been able to say that about your team? Like, you have a chance to win it. So I would go ahead and, you know, focus on the now. Don't we need to do that more in life? Focus on the now. I mean, this is the now is good. You know, yes, I mean, obviously the offensive line offseason, that's not just the offensive line stuff. There's going to be some tough choices, and it's going to get sticky in some spots because of, you know, the kicking of the can and all that stuff. But right now, you got a good team that if some – luck goes your way in terms of availability of players, it could get really interesting here.
Slick on the text line says, my biggest disappointment is Derrick Henry's injury this season. The fact that he missed out the back-to-back 2,000 yards and more than likely the league MVP as well. But I'll gladly trade both of those for a Super Bowl MVP. This is coming from Slick on the text line.
Okay. I like, you know, that's good optimism. There you go. And again, if he comes back in the final week, he could still end up with about 1,400 yards this year. So, you know, not really, but seriously, he does have a 1,000-yard season. That would be cool, actually. I mean, it's not why you do it. You don't do it but like for him, if he were able to come back and still get a 1,000-yard season, you know, that would be pretty cool.
What would that take, about two carries against Houston, maybe? Two or three?
If Davis Mills lets them have the ball.
Well, that's true.
They might just onside kick and just let Davis Mills light the world up. You never know.
I mean, I'm a pretty good guy to have on the hands team. He could see exactly where that ball is bouncing. That neck, he comes off the foot of the kicker. Be real good stuff to have Davis Mills out there. I got to stop.
Nice. Wait till Texans week. Well, next week, man. How are you going to contain yourself?
A lot of Davis Mills love here on the show. Derek texting in says, can someone please say out loud that Tannehill sucks and all five losses are completely his fault so Jared will shut up? Joe, would that be something you'd like to volunteer to do for Derek on the text line?
Okay, so wait. So in other words, we're like going to overstate things and then Jared will – well, why will he shut up? Why will he shut up? He's not going to shut up.
I was about to say, what are you talking about?
Then, if you did, actually, if you did that, then Jared would say, well, see, that I'm still the only honest show in town that tells you like it is with Ryan Tannehill.
I've been saying from the beginning, nobody else would say.
You would just make him say, like, you would just make him say it more dramatically. Like, you know, we'd be talking worst quarterback ever stuff.
I got a texture that says the MVP race irks my nerves. How big they're getting on Jonathan Taylor getting MVP, but Henry, they barely wanted to discuss it. I'm telling you, this is a sore subject for Titans fans right now. The Jonathan Taylor MVP discussion.
Yeah, and we talked about it, and it's bad luck. It's bad luck for Derrick Henry because this is the year. If everything else was playing out like this, and he was playing. And where would he be right now? I mean, he'd probably be right close to 2,000, right?
Yep.
You know, then it'd probably be his year because last year it was Aaron Rodgers' year, and there was pretty much no doubt about it as you went down the stretch. And most years it's fill in the quarterback's name year. This is not that year. So But, you know, Jonathan Taylor's great. So you shouldn't look at it as a slight. It's just bad luck. Just like this injury is bad luck for him and for the Titans.
I do wonder, and Pelissero was talking about this yesterday on kind of that clip we played earlier of the Titans having some skins on the wall, and they've been through some battles before. They got some experience in the playoffs. With all the adversity they've had to deal with this year, could this ultimately end up being something that makes them better? Now, that kind of stuff gets thrown around in sports all the time of, oh, you've had to deal with a lot of adversity this year. That's going to make you better in the long run. You know, to me, the simple answer of making the Titans better is, yeah, once you get their players back, that'll make them better. That'll be the number one thing that makes them better as they head into the playoffs. Do you buy into maybe that this Titans group is a little bit more battle-tested? They've had to go through some things that maybe groups in the past haven't, and that could serve them well come playoff time?
Sure. I mean, I think they're clearly battle-tested in their adversity. Oh, my gosh, we have to put this guy in for this guy tested. Now, I think that's also, even though the Titans, you know, have set the record for players using all that stuff and they've had incredible injuries, I do think that's more of a thing around the league. I mean, just COVID alone, right, makes it every team has had to have, in some weeks, has had to, you know, do some last-second adjusting, and there's going to be more of that ahead. Yeah, I think they're battle-tested, but it's still, look, it's going to come down to it's going to be the NFL playoffs. I mean, it's going to come down to execution and a few plays in a close game against a very similar team, you know that. So does being battle tested, does that help the Titans make that play, you know, on 3rd and 11 or get the stop on 3rd and 8, you know, in the fourth quarter? I don't know. I mean, it comes down to the best players in the world and a few key moments where we're focused on execution and sometimes luck come into play.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Make sure you're tuning in this Thursday for the Transperfect Music City Bowl on 102.5 The Game and our sister station 93.3 Classic Hits as the Tennessee Vols take on Purdue at Nissan Stadium coming up at 2 p.m. Coverage of the game is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. You can find tickets available for the game at MusicCityBowl.com. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike, I know it seemed like forever for the bye to get here, but I mean, having the bye this late, followed now by the mini bye with 2 weeks to go, in a way, is it going to be beneficial for you heading into January?
Well, only if we take advantage of it, Corey. You know, only if we take advantage of it and can use the extra time to get rest, to make sure that we're sleeping, that our nutrition is on point, that our conditioning is on point. You know, we have some guys that have been out, and that we're as we get them back, that their conditioning is at a level that we expect it to be to allow them to play with the effort and finish that's expected of our football team. So I hope that it can be an advantage. I hope that it can help us if we take advantage and we do the right things.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference, his Zoom press conference. Joe, I will say it was nice to see a Zoom press conference again yesterday where Terry McCormick's apparently fire alarm was going off. He said on Twitter yesterday that it was while he was at work. So the work smoke detector was going out. Vrabel saying he needs to change the batteries. Good stuff once again on Zoom.
Oh, and Jared.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's T-Mac. T-Mac is always good for some Zoom fun. And also, I'm very disappointed in Corey Curtis for I feel like there's taunting going on there as he says "bye" incorrectly so many times. But you know, not everybody wants to join the movement to use the English language correctly.
Yes, just probably got it from Merriam-Webster. That Corey Curtis, darn him, getting it from the dictionary.
They've diminished in value.
Apparently so. Did you see the news on Jimmy Garoppolo? We've talked all week about how Jimmy Garoppolo in the Christmas spirit last week at Nissan Stadium, gift wrapping some turnovers to the Titans, missing on some wide open throws, to Juszczyk down the sideline as well. Well, apparently there could be a reason for that. Jimmy Garoppolo suffered a torn UCL in the right thumb of his throwing hand. and also a fracture in the same thumb as well early in the loss to the Titans. This coming from Adam Schefter from ESPN. So I don't know exactly when early is in terms of when Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, but maybe some reasons for why we saw some throws get away from Jimmy the other night.
Yeah. Well, it sounds awful. First of all, sounds awful. But it doesn't necessarily dictate your decisions, though, does it?
It does not.
He's made some of it. Yeah, I do. I will say, you know, listening to it brings to mind one of those plays. If you listen to Vrabel's explanation of the Jenkins pick, you know, that was a great, you know, to the point of like Shane Bowen and this defensive staff, you know, that's a specific type of route they run in the red zone, number one red zone offense, where they, you know, basically Jenkins sat down, whereas a lot of guys would not sit down and would, you know, whatever you want to call it, run with him, and then he comes back to get the ball, and he anticipated the route. So great, you know, so like great play by him and great preparation by the staff, and Garoppolo has an expectation. And again, I can't really knock anybody for throwing the ball to George Kittle, single cover in the end zone, but that was, you know, that's an example of like preparation leading to a huge play in a game. But yeah, I don't know, man. Jimmy G, when you don't see a linebacker, that doesn't have anything to do with your wrist, right?
No, I wouldn't think so. And now Trey Lance is taking all the starting reps so far this week in practice. So it could be the Trey Lance show moving forward here for the Niners. There are Niners Twitter is convinced that that's the last snap they'll ever see from Jimmy G in San Francisco, that it's going to be the Trey Lance show from here on out.
They may be right. And sadly for the, to me, for the NFL and for NFL fans, we may not see that team in the playoffs. I still believe that is a fun team to watch and a dangerous physical team that could really be a problem for one of these NFC favorites, but they may not get in now.
Yeah. I'm cool with them not being in there. Be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. You're okay with it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just not like, that's not the seven, you know, if you're the two, that's not this. Yeah. But so think about this, Robbie, if your Packers are the one seed, would you not love to see like the Bucks or Cowboys or Rams have to deal with those guys? I mean, that could be good.
Yeah, yeah, it would.
You know, but I hope they get in. I just because like, I don't have any interest in watching Philly. I'm sorry. Like, I think they're not good. And they're better than I thought they'd be.
We could get some Nick Sirianni post-game press conference. What are you talking about? I've got all the interest in the world in watching Philadelphia. Just bring me the coach.
Well, why can't we get Nick Sirianni on like one of the pregame postseason shows? I mean, he could be incredible, breaking stuff down for us. I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can get Nick Sirianni content.
Yeah, he could go through his spiel about gardening and how that kind of translates to the growth in a team. Be good stuff.
I don't want to see – I mean, the Saints are – well, they're in trouble now. I think the Niners are probably still going to get in, right? Because the Saints are going to fade here.
Yeah. Man, Ian Book last night, that was rough. Ah, real rough last night. I can't believe they took him in the fourth round.
Yeah, I didn't get that one. I didn't get that. Ian Book was a nice running quarterback who made a throw here or there at Notre Dame. I never took him for an NFL quarterback. Maybe he'll prove I was wrong. Look, Jalen Hurts, by the way, if we're talking about NFL court, Jalen Hurts is better than I thought he'd be in the NFL. So, you know, it can happen. But I never really thought much of Ian Book as an NFL quarterback.
So, the Titans taking on the Dolphins this weekend, Joe. And obviously, there's a pretty natural connection there from Ryan Tannehill. That's where he came from. That was the team, as Titans fans are saying this week, that, quote, gave up on Ryan Tannehill. And now you've got a chance to really put a hamper on their playoff hopes this week if you're Tannehill. You and I have talked about this before, and I'm always interested because, you know, there's going to be a lot of discussion this week of, oh boy, you're going to see a really motivated Ryan Tannehill to go out there this week and to just stick it to his old team and show them that they let one get away. And look, I buy that to some degree. I'm sure that Ryan Tannehill is going to be really focused. He's going to really want to win this game. He wants to win the game anyway, but I understand there is something about going up against your old team. Do you buy into, at that position, that helping your performance in any way in terms of the motivational aspect? We've talked about this a lot at the quarterback position, which, as you pointed out, I still think largely comes down to execution. Do you have a clean pocket? Do you have time to make throws? Which Miami's trying to not give you much up, by the way. They bring more pressure than just about anybody in the league. Lewis Riddick was talking about that last night on Monday Night Football. Do you buy into the Ryan Tannehill revenge factor being a big factor in this game coming up on Sunday?
No, not really. I understand that this was, I mean, essentially, when you got the new regime in there, one of the things, I think clearly they wanted to move on from Ryan Tannehill. They want to start over at quarterback. But, I mean, so for one thing, it's not like, I mean, the franchise, yes, but the people who are running the franchise just came in and wanted a new start. So even from that perspective, I'm sure he probably was fine with new scenery as well. But beyond that, I mean, much more important than that is what you just said. I mean, your quarterback. I mean, it gives you a chance to talk trash after a game. Like, for example, Joe Burrow. I mean, he can talk trash about Wink Martindale when he puts 525 on his defense. But, like, was Joe Burrow out there, "You think I'm not going to have a gold jacket on? Let me watch this throw. Watch this throw to – you know, to T. Higgins, oh, I'm going to rip this one." I mean, it's, you know, your quarterback. You have to be cool and calm and you have to focus and execute. And like you said, you have to have things working well around you too. You have to have receivers who can win outside and you have to have protection. So I don't buy it. Tannehill won't say anything, but I love my time there this week. And, you know, every once in a while, Tannehill, like last week we talked about, you know, last year he was visibly upset about not getting the Pro Bowl. And yep. I think he had beef too. So here and there you might get something like that. I'll be surprised if there's a peep about, you know, being wanting to get back at Miami. I don't even think that even privately, I'd be surprised if that's some huge thing for him. I mean, you know, he had a good run there, not a great run. It wasn't the run that matched his draft status. But I think it was time for everybody to move on at that point.
I would like to see him get up there on Wednesday and just be like, yeah, I'd really like to just shove it to the Dolphins this week. Just one time. I just need him to do it one time. He never has to do it again. Just one time.
I always hated their freaking mascot. And growing up as a kid, I hated watching Dan Marino. You know,
Lace
I never wanted to play. Yeah, I never wanted to play for that crappy franchise. Yeah, we can always hope. You never know. You never know, like next week, Bill Belichick may give you his whole list of resolutions. I mean, we can't totally know what's going to happen to these pressures until it happens.
No, we can't. We'll see what happens on the Tannehill front. You know, it's interesting. I mean, look, I think obviously it's worked out pretty well for Tannehill here. You're talking about a team that has gone to an AFC title game. You won the AFC South last year. You're on the verge of winning the AFC South again. So, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about Tannehill this year. I don't really buy much into the revenge elevating his game. Like, honestly, I think there's enough motivation this time of year without the Miami part of this. It's all right. You need to win the division. The one seed is still on the table. And look, I think Tannehill to some degree has probably heard the noise about him this year as well. I mean, all these athletes, they're not immune to the conversation out there. I think it's pretty obvious based on the post game comments the other night, Mike Vrabel. Here's the noise and the chatter that's out there. I mean, he was pretty evident in the post-game comments of, yeah, most people are at our funeral. We're not dead yet. I mean, it was pretty obvious. They know what's going on out there. So, look, I think there's enough there already for Tannehill to be motivated other than just the Miami stuff.
Oh, yeah. Vrabel had like three different unprompted moments after the game, which, you know, we've seen before. We've seen directed at certain people, you know, on this show before.
That's correct.
But, you know, he clearly heard the talk. And I think sometimes when you have an emotional win like that, then it bubbles up for him. And look, I mean, I think this is sometimes it's laughable. Like you said, I didn't see the thing from Will Anderson, but that's just awesome. You know, like Alabama's not getting respect. I mean, you can be the absolute, you know, all pro on the best team in the league, and you can still find somebody who disrespected you, right? I mean, I think everybody's always looking for an edge. So
yeah, apparently, Tom Brady's still pissed off that he got drafted in the sixth round after all these years. Apparently, there's that.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, yeah, right. Apparently, yeah. Steve Harvey every year sends one of his old teachers a TV because she said he'd never be on TV. So I guess every year he sends her a TV.
That's a good one. That's a good one. So
spiteful. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's always there as a thing, but, And I think Tannehill, you know, hears the noise for sure. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but I think he does a pretty decent job of setting it aside. I don't think it's too big of a deal here.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hi, football aside, sorry, but I'm doing a story about New Year's resolutions, and I was just wondering if you had any you wanted to share with your fans and our readers?
Yeah, no, not right now.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe next week.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Like, I wonder at what point this week is Belichick going to entertain that question again? Like, is it tomorrow? When does that start?
I swear, I'm blown away by his niceness there. I really am. I mean, of all people, like, to ask that, you know, that's the number one, right? He's got to be the absolute or number 32 of likely to answer that question. He's got to be 32, right? And there's a lot of coaches in the league who would also just shoot that. If Vrabel would probably,
I was about to say, Vrabel's probably 31 on that list.
he would also launch into the sun. But the fact that Belichick was like, maybe next week. I'm like, what? Really? You actually might entertain this next week? I mean, he's got to be asked next week now.
Oh yeah,
he's got to be.
I will say the facial expression that he brought to the table was I don't know if nice is the right word, but it was at least, I guess, not totally dismissive. It was awesome.
It was somewhat, you know, it was somewhat understanding of him. Good for you, Bill Belichick.
He seemed like a victim, kind of, in the question. He was like, maybe next week. Like a sad little man.
Who do they play Sunday?
That's a good question. Who do the Patriots play Sunday? Let's find out.
I think they've got at least one, you know, like I'm sure they have another Jets game or something coming up.
They got the mighty Jags coming up on Sunday, buddy.
Okay, there you go. They're going to beat the Jags by 3 touchdowns. Ask them right after that. I mean, it's your best bet, you know? It's the day after. So, any resolutions or be fresh in his mind, he's coming off a win. You got to get him Sunday.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Logan, text again. So, is there a chance that any of the players for the Titans on the COVID list could be cleared by Sunday? And if you missed it, the Titans did have 4 guys put on the COVID list yesterday: Bud Dupree, Julio Jones, the 2 big names on the COVID list, Buster Skrine, and obviously Nick Westbrook-Ikhina as well. So 4 members of the Titans put on the COVID list yesterday: Roger Saffold and Elijah Molden coming off of the COVID-19 reserve list. Joe, there is a chance that those guys could come off and could be available by Sunday. We've seen that happen in some cases last week. In some cases, like Travis Kelce, it did not happen last week where they came off. It's just kind of a wait-and-see approach and a person-by-person approach.
Yes. So the big question on that is, are they vaccinated? And we don't have, like, you know, a stat sheet on who's vaccinated and who isn't. But if you are vaccinated, I mean, actually, there's a lot more than just the negative test. So to read the specific rules, 1, players can receive 2 PCR test results that are negative or produce cycle threshold values of 35 or greater. I will not pretend to know that exactly. Or 2, players can receive 1 PCR test that either negative or produces CT values, cycle threshold values of 35 or greater, and a negative MESA test result from a test taken within 24 hours of the PCR test. Both those tests should be taken at the same time or less than 24 hours apart. 3, players can receive 2 negative MESA test results that can be taken concurrently but must be 2 separate swabs. I'm reading this from CBS Sports story about the new protocols. Basically, you know, you can test out of it, so if you're vaccinated. So yes, it is possible. You mentioned the league, like the Browns recently. So they had some guys who tested out. Baker, for example, they were hoping to get last game, didn't get him back. He didn't test back in the game. So it's going to be a day-to-day thing. It's going to be a day-to-day thing on them coming back. And, of course, it's going to be day-to-day, hopefully not, more names, but I think it's reasonable to expect that, you know, we're going to see more transactions this week from the Titans with people going on the COVID list as we see people coming off the COVID list.
Matt on the text line saying, is there any word on whether the NFL will change their quarantine policy to follow the new CDC guideline of 5 days instead of 10? And that did come out yesterday from the CDC of changing the guidelines of quarantine, recommended originally at 10 days, now to 5 days from the CDC. So I would imagine, not with just the NFL, but really every sport, NHL, NBA, whatever you want to toss in there, that's going to have some effect in terms of the way these new protocols are shaped as they move forward here.
I would assume, because that's the thing. So if right now, as the rules stand, you know, unvaccinated Titans on this list, it's 10 days. So I would assume that it would be pretty quick adjustment to this CDC guideline, but it's still the leagues that have to get that done. And I would think that we might hear something on that real quickly here.
Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. I've heard once you go through protocols, you don't get tested again for 90 days. Is that true? Anyone who's tested positive, are they found to be good for the playoffs? And I know that that was at least true with the Rodgers situation. He is still in the 90-day period where he does not have to be tested as they move forward here. So I would assume, you know, even for vaccinated players, you know, with the NFL's new protocols anyway, if you're asymptomatic, you're not going to be tested. I would assume that's the way they're going to operate.
Right, yeah. I believe that is accurate.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I got a texture that says, it's crazy to think we're one win away from winning the South and a Kansas City loss away from being the number one seed again. It is crazy. I think we're going to find out a lot about how that's going to end coming up this weekend. Put your Joe Burrow jersey on, your Ed O voice, get in there, your Joe Burrow, and get the Cincinnati Bengals going this weekend, because to me, that's the best shot you've got to get the one seed, is for Cincinnati to take care of business at home against Kansas City.
I agree. In fact, although I don't remember what the – are they at Denver? Is that right?
Yes.
Are they on the road the last two games? Much better chance of losing this week. Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
So, yeah, much better chance of losing this week. I mean, it's interesting, though, because you're right. The Titans are on the verge of winning the division, and they're in there for the one seed. And, again, this week could all of a sudden turn into a massive pressure week a week from now. If the Dolphins come in and win their eighth straight game in Nissan Stadium, and, you know, if the Colts beat the Raiders, and all of a sudden, like, you have to win at Houston just to win the division. So it could still swing either way, you know? But yeah, as far as the one seed, if you get it done this week, and the Bengals, of course, can clinch the division by beating the Chiefs. That's a big game on the road. So I think there is a chance. I mean, that's a Bengals team that is not perfect, but they can throw it around the yard. I mean, Joe Burrow, I think, he's going to be a really good player in this league for a long time.
He's going to be a really good player. The AFC right now, it's interesting. You know, we heard the Pelissero audio earlier. I know that the Titans are technically the two seed right now, but, I mean, go around the league. You can find a ton of different opinions on who the biggest challenger to Kansas City is in the AFC. Lots of people, they don't mention the Titans because they just don't trust them with what they've seen as of late. Yeah, I've heard the Bengals. I've heard still the Bills. I've heard all kinds of people and all kinds of different opinions on who the number two challenger is right now in the AFC outside of Kansas City. You know, it's kind of interesting that we've cycled all the way back around to Kansas City, given the way that they started this season, but that's what it is right now in the AFC side of things. If you tell me that Derrick Henry's healthy and you tell me that A.J. Brown can stay healthy and the Bud Dupree's back to being Bud Dupree, I still give the Titans just as good a shot as anybody in the AFC to challenge and compete with Kansas City when it comes to playoff time.
I do too. The Bills are so different then. I will say, we saw the Titans go there 2 years ago in the AFC Championship game, and play most of a great, probably what, 25 great minutes of football.
Yep.
And then ultimately give way to Mahomes in that offense. I don't know that you can really overstate what it would mean to have that game, if that game were to happen at home as opposed to in Kansas City. And let's also remember that the Titans, you know, when they've been in that position, they haven't been in there much, but a couple times they've been in that position and they have not been able to get the first win at home. So, I mean, it's I still say that right now, the way the bracket lies is not bad for the Titans if it were to stay that way. Be with the Patriots and Bengals as opposed to the Bills and Colts. But a lot, of course, can change here in the next 2 weeks.
Some people still believe the Patriots are the biggest threat to the Chiefs. I can't buy it anymore.
There can't be that many people that think that still.
Other than Patriots
fans?
Yeah. There are some, man.
Yeah, look, their defense. I mean, we saw the Titans put 270 on their D and turn it over. 270 on the ground and their D turn it over. That defense has been good this year, but I think beyond the rookie QB, Mac Jones, they don't have a great passing game. Boy, their defense, I think, has some flaws. It's not exactly a dominant defense that you take in the post. They're a good team. I could see them getting a win in. Potentially, but like if it's Patriots at Bengals, as it would be right now, I'll take Burrow and company at home.
We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on Robbie and Rex Road, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our good friend Ben Arthur from the Tennessean. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they take on the Miami Dolphins coming up this weekend at home at Nissan Stadium. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.